Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Tipikaga is a 3D game that allows the user to put together a traditional Lakota teepee using instructions in the Lakota language. It's the creation of Carl Peterson. He's a senior computer game design and computer science major at Dakota State University. Peterson is attending the Imaginative Film and Media Arts Festival, where the game is getting its international premiere. Carl Peterson joins us now from Toronto, Ontario, where the festival is taking place. Carl, thanks for taking time for In the Moment.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, tell us a little bit about the festival and how, you know, take us into the room with you a little bit and tell us what you see.
Well, not quite at the festival yet. It starts tomorrow. Just flew in a little early. There's the kickoff tonight. I am in a hostel in Toronto, so nothing too interesting here. But yeah, the idea of the Imaginative Festival is to bring together Indigenous creatives from all over the world in film. Originally, this is their 20th year of the film festival. And then in digital media, this is about the seventh year they've done game design games. And the second year they've had the Indigital Space, which is a separate part of the conference, totally devoted to games, VR, and different digital experiences by and about Native people.
All right. How did you get your start into this world and kind of realize that this is something you wanted to study and then create?
To study game design, I thought about what I was doing with my time as a junior in high school. I was playing a lot of video games. I said, okay, well, maybe I want to do that with the rest of my life. Where do I do that? Oh, wait, there's a school in South Dakota that does that. Okay. So that's how I ended up at Dakota State. A year later, Dakota State brought in some speakers from the game design industry, and one of them mentioned that there's this really cool group of Indigenous people making video games. One of those was Beth Lepense with her game Thunderbird Strike, which was kind of based around the Enbridge 5 pipeline protests about the same time as No Dapple. It looked really cool. Got in touch with her and then ended up working on the game When Rivers Were Trails. It takes place in 1890. Part of it's in South Dakota right before Sitting Bull's death and Wounded Knee. And then about that same time, I started creating Teepee Builder and applying for the Dream Starter grant from Billy Mills and Running Strong for American Youth. I got that grant in March. And now a couple months later, the game is in a pretty stable place, and we're here showing it off in Toronto.
All right. Tell me about the game itself, and then let's talk about how you show it off and what your hopes are for it. But let's start with the game itself. How does it work?
Yeah, so like you said, it's a 3D game, which doesn't mean, you know, like 3D glasses or anything. It's just the models look like they're three-dimensional, and you can walk through the world, you know, left, right, up, down, north, south, east, west. And this one is more, you look at it from a single perspective, but you're looking into a world like that where there's some teepee poles and a teepee hide and a rope, and you've got those things, and you have to combine them in, you know, the way that you would actually do so in real life to create a teepee. While you're doing this, your instructions are in Lakota. So everything in the game from the first, you know, words, you know, take those three poles and tie them together. Well, that's all in Lakota. So like, Toshu Yamani, Ishkichiap, Po. But yeah, so it's all done, and with a much better Lakota voice actor than myself.
Tell us about that actor. Tell me about how you sourced the language to make sure that it, you know, had the right the right words in the game.
Yeah. So originally, I worked with my Lakota teacher from when I went to school on the Cheyenne River Indian Reservation. I went to 13 years of Lakota class at Cheyenne Eagle Butte schools, and my teacher, Emmanuel Redbear, helped me to translate kind of what I was thinking for the game and to piece together the script. It was originally not voice acted, and that wasn't until this summer, almost 2 years later, that I was able to get Carl Buffalo, who's another member of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe and a fluent speaker, to do the voice acting for me, in a truck with the air conditioning on, so it's not the greatest, but, you know, you work with what you have. You don't always have a studio.
Right. How will you sort of introduce that game then at the festival?
Yeah, so it's part of what I said, the indigenous space. There's maybe 13 games around that from different indigenous people across the world. And I've got my own booth where I'll set up with the game and allow people to play it. People walk through the space, kind of like a convention floor, you know, yeah. And play games. They ask questions. And then I'll also be giving a talk on Wednesday about using video games for education in indigenous spaces, and especially with language. You know, how can this be used to teach the language, and how does this fill a gap in the current education system that we have around Lakota and other native languages?
And so what are your hopes for the game itself? Because I'm getting excited just thinking about this whole concept of it, but then there has to be an application in order for it to be successful. So what do you know, when people stop by and play the game, what are you hoping happens?
You know, they play it and they hear this Lakota speaker, something that, you know, despite how much Lakota is on the internet, it's not super easy to find conversational speech in Lakota, especially conversational speech, you know, that you're able to learn with and interact with. And so that's kind of what I'm going for here. We have apps like, you know, Rosetta Stone. We have the Lakota versions of those where it's a single word and you memorize how that sounds. But we don't have a ton of conversational where you can hear the whole sentence and the whole context to everything. Yeah. And that's kind of what I'm hoping people will hear and kind of, you know, piece through the words, especially if they already have some familiarity with Lakota, and be able to figure out what the narrator is saying in order to create the steepy and use that action of doing it to help internalize what they just read, what they just heard.
Who's your eventual audience? Who do you want to play the game eventually?
My biggest audience, I think, most important for me would be to reach Native youth in South Dakota, especially on reservations, and then some urban pockets of Natives across, you know, Lakotas in Minneapolis, Rapids, Sioux Falls, Denver, who, you know, still have some connection to the language and still want to learn it, even if they're not, you know, back on our ancestral lands.
Take me back to when you first started gaming and put that game in your hands, and what would it have meant to you?
Well, it definitely would have been better than the cassette tape that I started to learn Lakota off of. like, it was awesome to have that resource, right? To have it recorded when the last fluent speaker in my family was my great-grandmother, who died 10 years before I was born. You know, the cassette tapes were what I had when I wasn't at school. But I think if I had had this game, I would have been able to hear it more conversationally, less of this individual word stuff, then I might have been able to pick it up a lot quicker. After 13 years in school and a lot of work on my own, I'm still only fluent at maybe the level of a five-year-old. And that really hurts that I've not been able to get to where I want to be with Lakota. It's maybe, you know, partially scheduling and time that I've put into it, but it also has to do with the resources that are available. And that's one of the things I'm trying to fix, is to make more resources available. So one Lakota teacher doesn't have to try and engage 30 kids for an hour. They can engage one-on-one while the other ones play this game, or that a kid can play it at home and get that more exposure to it that they wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah, those cassette tapes are probably still around somewhere being used.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, it takes a while to, you know, to upgrade resources and curriculum and things like that. Tell me before I let you go about the Dream Starter grant and just how much that sort of the confidence and, you know, the financial support has meant in the development of this game.
Well, so this was originally a school project. You know, I made it in class at Dakota State when I was a sophomore 2 years ago, and I really didn't have a ton of plans to keep going with it. I had thought about it, but never really been able to, you know, devote the time and the resources I wanted to. But then I was invited to apply for the Dream Starter grant, and I was able to get that $10,000 award. Then was also able to get another $3,000 award from the Four Bands Community Fund back home in Eagle Butte, and some other support from Dakota State with the Mad Labs. I'm now going to be moving in there soon. So all this support has meant that I've been able to put more time and resources into it. I've been able to hire a staff. I now have two other Lakota and Dakota students from Dakota State working with me, and I'm just about to hire another remote programmer who's going to be an indigenous person, maybe not Lakota or Dakota, but still an all indigenous team, which has been really awesome to be able to do. A lot of times this type of game development is done by people who do it for free, And that's not really something that we can do in, you know, our native communities where people don't have those types of resources where they can work for free for months. And so it's been really great to be able to pay people to work for me and to get something created that's polished and really cool. Mm.
So what a great story. Carl Peterson is joining us ahead of the Imaginative Film and Media Arts Festival, where his TP Pilder 3D game is going to have its debut tomorrow. Best of luck to you, Carl. And the door is open here as this project moves forward. Come back and tell us more at your convenience.
Yeah, just real quick for the listeners, if they could check out my website, northernplainsgames.com, if you're interested in updates on this. I'll be posting regularly this next couple of weeks and hoping to launch the game within the next couple months. So stay tuned.